Glad you guys are here this morning. Man, presence of God is good. Worship was just amazing this morning. God is so good. Like, we could just end right there. God is so good. A couple announcements. Tomorrow night, we have our Celebrate Recovery anniversary party. So if you want to join us tomorrow night, 6 p.m., celebrate with them. It's going to be great. It's going to be, we're not just celebrating the 10th year anniversary, but the graduates of this year. So it's going to be a party, so you can come on out. It's open to anybody to come and celebrate with them. Just want to remind you also again of our Christmas Eve or our Christmas candlelight service coming up at the 7th Street Theater. I'm excited about it. We're still getting everything finalized and prepared for it. And then also wanted to mention, if you, like we did with Thanksgiving, if you are in need of assistance for just a Christmas meal, we want you to be able to have that opportunity to provide a Christmas meal for you and your family. So if you need that, please sign up at the Connection Center after service. You need to at least be signed up by next Sunday. So do that, so that you can have that. And then lastly, do we have any high school junior hires in here this morning? Any high school junior high? All right, we got a Christmas party tonight, 6 p.m. here. I think we're actually down at the other end of the building, but it's going to be fun. We're going to have lots of games, prizes, food, so you're going to want to show up 6 p.m. here for our youth Christmas party. So it's going to be fun. All right. We're going to jump into it this morning. We're going to continue on in our Government of Peace series. But before we do, let's just pray. Lord God, we just thank you for your presence that is here. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord, that you choose to be here with us. And we enjoy your presence. God, you are so good. And we love you. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would just do what you want to do through the rest of this service. It's yours, Lord God. So we just surrender this time to you. We surrender our hearts to you. And Lord, we just ask that you would speak what you want to speak, and that we would just receive from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we are, talking about government of peace. And this morning, talking about peace and obedience. I'm going to read through our kind of title scripture again from Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Last week, we talked about peace in prayer, that all the different things that we go through in this life that we can worry about and that we can stress out about and that can be burdensome and heavy, we are told by Jesus himself to bring to him and to cast these cares on him because he cares for us, and to not try and carry these burdens, but to give these burdens to God in prayer. And when we do so, that peace, which surpasses all understanding, regardless of the situation that we're going through, will be ours. And just even gave the illustration of the weights that we carry, that we're supposed to place these at the feet of Jesus. So this week we're talking about peace and obedience. You know, God cares about our obedience, following his word. I want to go through a story here in the Bible really quickly, and it's about King Saul. King Saul was the, if you don't know, King Saul was the very first king anointed by God for the people of Israel. After they had wandered through the desert and finally come into the promised land, and they had a period of judges and priests that led them and kind of governed them, the people complained and said, "We want a king just like all the other nations around us. They have kings. We want to be like them." And that's one of the things that God told them not to do, is don't be like the other nations around you. But they're like, "We want a king. We want somebody who can lead us." And so finally, the priest at the time, Samuel, is like, "Okay, I will give you what you want. God says to give you what you want, and you will get what you have asked for." And so Saul is the first anointed king of Israel. And God's anointing rested on him for a time until he chose not to do what God had asked him to do. And God had spoken to Saul specifically before this one battle with the Amalekites and said, "I want you to destroy them all. This is a wicked people. I want you to keep nothing for yourself. Leave everything. I want you just to destroy it all." And Saul chose in this moment not to obey God. It says in 1 Samuel 15:22, after he keeps some of the portion for himself, he ended up keeping some of the best animals and some of the best possessions from the Amalekites and did not destroy it all. And this is what Samuel says: "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." So Saul was given a direct command that this is what you are to do, and he chose not to do it. And he brought sacrifices before God, and he did bring some burnt offerings. He's like, "Ah, God, you're so great," but he kept actually the best portion for himself after this. And God's like, "These sacrifices that you have brought to me mean nothing because you've disobeyed." This word obey in the scripture means to keep or to watch over, to guard. And it means like obeying and keeping the law that has been given to us to live by obeying God's law. And it's actually used 468 times in the Old Testament. Should highlight to us that this is important to God, that we obey. 1 Samuel 16:14 goes on, "Now that Saul has disobeyed," and it says this, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him." Not that God necessarily sent a tormenting spirit, but because the Spirit of the Lord was removed from Saul, it now left him exposed to the attacks of the enemy. And a tormenting spirit came, and if you continue to read on through it, he became very paranoid and fearful and just afraid of different things in his life. And he no longer had the peace of God. Likewise, God calls us into obedience. He wants us to live according to his word. Isaiah 57:20-21 says this: "But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." So when Saul turned his back towards God, God's spirit was removed from him, and that protection of that peace which God had given him was also removed. And so he was susceptible and open to all the different attacks and enemy. And you can read through that story. He was like just fearful at every corner, thought things were going to happen that weren't going to happen. And so he stepped out of obedience from God. Now, wickedness in this verse is crimes against the law. And sin, as we talked about, if you were here through the doctrine series, it's a transgression of God's law, meaning doing something in opposition to God's law that he has given us. Now, God has given us some very clear directives and commands in his word. Words like do not murder, do not steal, do not lie, do not commit adultery or sexual immorality. Do not covet, which is wanting what your neighbor has. They've got a nice house. I want a house just as good or better. Against idolatry, worshiping or placing anything above God. He's told us to not harbor bitterness and unforgiveness. Now, God's laws that he has given are not just so that he can lord things over us. They're for our protection and for our blessing. He's given them to us for our benefit and for our good. And if we decide to live in opposition to God's clear laws, we can't expect to have his peace. Now, it doesn't mean that we need to be perfect. We are human beings. We're flawed. And God, that's why he gives us grace. So it doesn't mean that we have to do things right all the time, but it means that our heart has to be surrendered to him. And if we do not surrender our heart to his, then we are as well susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. And Satan doesn't want us to be surrendered. He wants us to be open and exposed to attacks. Because remember what is said in John 10:10. It says, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy us. But he can't destroy us if we are protected. But if we come out from under that protection, then that gives him an opportunity. Listen to this in 1 Peter 5:6-9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. But keep this, be sober-minded. Do not think that you can live the way that you want, do what you want, how you want, when you want, in opposition to God's word, and expect to be protected. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. If you watch nature shows at all, which I've seen many because my son loves them, the one that doesn't make it is the one that's not protected by the herd. And just like a lion, the devil tries to draw us out from that protection, from the protection of God, and get us singled out and exposed. This has been many years ago now, but when I was younger, my dad and I were fishing up at this mountain lake that we like to go to, that he took us to year after year to go camping. And we were out on this lake fishing, and he likes to go like in mid-September to early October when there's nobody up there. He likes to get away from people. And so we were up there on this lake. It's a rather large lake, and we're out there on this boat fishing, and it's peaceful, it's quiet. There's nobody else out there. It's just the two of us, and we're enjoying our time. And then as we're going along fishing, we notice some dark clouds begin to roll in. We're like, those don't look so very good. And off in the distance, we hear this little roll of thunder, and we're like, oh, that's not very good. And not more than a minute or two past that roll of thunder, all of a sudden this lightning bolt hits this side of the hill right next to us. And we looked at each other, and my dad says, we got to get off this lake as fast as we possibly can. We are exposed out here. We are the highest thing on this lake. And so we hightailed it as fast as we could. Luckily, by the grace of God, there was no more lightning or thunder until we got back into the safety of our trailer, which then the skies opened up, the rain came down, and the thunder roared and lightning flashed. But we realized in that moment, we are exposed. And if we do not seek shelter, if we do not seek cover, this could not end well for us. You need to recognize when you're exposed to the attacks of the enemy and seek shelter in God. And how do you do that? By obeying his word. And just like we were exposed to the elements and we were exposed to the lightning, with willful disobedience, we step out from under God's protection. And we are exposed to the attacks of the enemy. But if you are walking in obedience, you can expect the protection of God. In the verse that we read last week, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, earlier in Philippians, Paul is talking about actually continuing in the obedience of Jesus. Before he even gets to this verse, he says, continue in the way that you've been walking. Continue in obedience to his word, continuing to do what he says. And if you do that, then you can pray and express his peace, which surpasses all understanding, to come. But you can't expect that peace if you're not under his covering to begin with. And it actually means this. When he says, if you're walking in obedience to God and you're praying in that peace of God that comes, it says what? It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, that though the attacks may come, you're going to be protected by his peace. And that actually word in the Greek, that word for guard, actually means that the peace of God is set up like a soldier or a sentinel around you. That the attacks of the enemy, the lies of the enemy that come and will try to bring fear and worry, they won't land. Because you're guarded by the peace of God through obedience and through prayer. Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28 says this. "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse." This is God speaking to his people in the wilderness, says, "The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you to today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today to go after other gods that you have not known. Obey my word," he says. The blessing of God includes his peace that surpasses all understanding. And the curse includes the absence of that peace. His presence is peace. And if you do not walk in accordance with what he has called you to do, you can't have his peace. But if you do, it's yours. James 4:17 says this, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." So there's obviously clear commands and mandates in God's word that he has told us to do that we need to live by. Clear things in scripture that are indisputable, that we need to keep and guard and watch over in our lives. But there's other things that God has spoken to us that are not clear mandates in word, but he has spoken to us specifically, convictions of the Holy Spirit that he's told us to do that we also need to obey. And if we don't, to us, it is sin. If God told me, "I want you to," I've made this analogy before, but if I want you to walk around with a banana peel on your head, and you do not do it, to you, that is sin. Now, is there anything in scripture that says we need to walk around with banana peel on your head? No. So from an outward perspective, y'all could think that I was living in complete alignment with God and what his word says. But I would know that I was disobeying and being disobedient because he had told me to do something. A couple years ago, God had spoken to me. He's like, hey, I want you to talk to this individual and ask for his forgiveness for something that happened 20 years ago. And I was like, God, that's weird. I was a different person 20 years ago. He was a different person 20 years ago. It's like, it's not that big of a deal. I don't need to do it. And so I went on and didn't do it. And as the days went on, there's just became more and more just this unrest in my spirit and this uneasiness in me. And I remember there came a day where I was just like, man, I just don't feel like I have any peace. God, what's going on? Why don't I have any peace? And he said, it's because you didn't do what I told you to do. It's like, God, it really isn't that big of a deal. Like, nobody's getting hurt in this. He's like, but I've told you to do it. This is something I've asked you to do, and you need to walk in obedience to it. It's like, ugh. I was actually going to see this person in a couple days. It's like, okay, this is going to be weird. This is going to be awkward. But, Lord, I'm going to do it. I don't want to live with this uneasiness, this unrest anymore. And so day comes, I come up to this person, I was like, hey, I know it's been a long time, but I want to say I'm sorry for, you know, the way I treated you and in this situation. Would you forgive me? And he's like, oh, man, I probably deserved it. Like, I was a knucklehead, and don't worry about it. I forgive you. Like, forgive me for all the things I did back then, too. I was like, well, of course. I can tell you that when I walked away from that encounter, the peace of God just overwhelmed me because I had stepped back into his covering and his presence came and his peace came. And if we walk in accordance with God's commands for us, we will be blessed by his peace. You will be blessed by his peace. Again, I want to say this. God is not looking for perfection, but for a surrendered heart. And he gives us grace in our mistakes. Like, God, I'm sorry I did this again. I messed up again. He's like, that's okay. My grace is for you. I am with you. The difference being, though, if you continue to willfully and consistently live in disobedience to what you know God has told you to do, you can't expect his peace. So if you are here this morning and you're feeling like, man, I just can't get peace. I can't get rest. I don't know what's going on. You need to ask yourself this question. What is the last thing he told you to do? And have you done it? And if you haven't, go back to the last point, to the last thing he has told you to do, and walk in obedience with that. And watch how his peace comes, that peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, as I spoke last week as well, we are still going to have storms in our life. This doesn't mean that we're going to have peace from external circumstances. We still live in a fallen world, and there's still going to be trials and tribulations that we walk through. But even in those, we will have the peace of God if we walk in obedience to him. Isaiah 32:17 through 18 says, "And the effect of righteousness, which is walking in accordance with God's laws, will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." That doesn't, again, necessarily mean in our external circumstances, but in your being, in your spirit, you will have the rest and peace of God. It will be a peaceful habitation for you, a secure dwelling. Psalms 119, 165 says this, "Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." And Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Your portion, your blessing from God in living in accordance with his word and his will for your life is his peace, is his comfort, is his joy. I don't know about you, but more than anything else in this world, I would like to have peace regardless of what's going on around me. And again, as I spoke before, the things of this world do not bring peace. And the things that Satan tries to tell you will bring peace does not. Well, if you just have a little bit more money, if you just have a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, then you can be at ease, you can be at rest. But that's not true. When you are living and abiding and resting in the shadow of the Almighty, then you will have peace. And then you can say, though the earth gives way, though the seas roar, I will not be afraid. I know my God is with me. And you can take comfort in him. And you can be secure in him. Kind of a, I would say like a supernatural experience almost. So one morning I was praying and I was inviting the Holy Spirit just in my quiet time with him. And I just felt almost physically like the presence of God had wrapped me in his arms. Like I almost felt like a baby curled up in his arms, and I never felt so secure in all my life. When you are in the presence of God and you are in that place with him, in obedience with him, you will never be more secure. His presence and walking in alignment with him is security that lasts for eternity. I want to read through this last scripture here before we close. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 6, says this, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday." Now I want to make note of this here for a second. It says, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. It does not say that the arrow will not fly, or that there's no terror at night. But you're not going to fear, because the Spirit of God is with you, and you rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And you know that whatever may come, God has you, and he is with you. And that he is the good shepherd that walks with you, and his rod and his staff, they bring comfort and peace. If you did not know, the staff brings protection and the rod brings correction, but you don't get the benefit of either of those if you don't let him lead and guide and stay with him in obedience with him and walk with him. So you can choose to walk your own way. But if you do, you choose to step outside of his protection and his covering. If you choose to walk with the shepherd, you get his protection, his covering, and his peace. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. So if you are struggling this morning to find rest, my encouragement is to you again. What is the last thing God told you to do? It may be something that you know you should have done from day one. Maybe it's something clearly explained in God's word, or maybe it's just something that he told you to do personally and you said, no, I don't want to do that. That's too awkward. That's too weird. That's too silly. But you need to walk in obedience in whatever it is that God has told you to do. And you just can know that if you do that, you will experience his peace. Just like I told you, like when I said, okay, God, I will do it. She's like, his peace just, it washed over me. It's like, whew. I should have done this earlier. Why was I waiting? Fear that something was going to happen? The person was going to hate me? Which, even if that happened, God would have given me his peace because I would have walked in obedience. Don't wait to obey. Don't wait to receive that protection and covering and peace.